Hi there, I'm Ashley Selman, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast, Healthy is Happy. Our goal is to provide you with the latest health and fitness information so that you can be informed to make decisions to optimize your health and ultimately your happiness. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast. I'm Ashley Selman, and I'm here today with Alyssa Chang, and we're going to be talking about how your perspective on fitness can actually be harmful to your health. So, very interesting topic I'm excited to talk about. Alyssa has a great background. She's been a trainer for 9 years now, and she's really developed a unique following of women who are looking for role models in fitness that really promote health and not just the aesthetic side of fitness. So Alyssa, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit more about your background and how you started to develop that attitude and that kind of following.
I had no other choice, I guess I could say, but to start reevaluating my relationship with exercise, nutrition, and with my own body. So my background was, I basically was an athlete most of my life. And then after I finished my volleyball career, I kind of was like moving around the gym and I didn't really like know what I was training for anymore. And I was so used to competing. And I think that's something you and I talked about before, mm-hmm. but just being so used to like having a goal and training mm-hmm. for that specific goal. That, you know, a lot of athletes go through that like loss of identity in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no longer an athlete. What do I do with myself?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And so I was kind of exposed to figure competitions, which is in the bodybuilding kind of spectrum. And so I was like, well, this sounds good enough. Let's do this. And so I, you know, trained really hard. The type of training and nutrition that is required for that is very extreme. And through that whole process, you know, it was very eye-opening to what types of attachments I did have to exercise. And it, at the end of it, it surfaced a lot of my own insecurities with who I was as a person and, you know, how much worth I did put into what I looked like and how much, you know, being strong and eating perfectly and being perfect was so much of a value to who I was that after I competed and, you know, ran into a lot of metabolic issues, which is really common with a lot of competitors, that I had no other choice but to, like, again, stop and reflect and be like, whoa, like, your health is now an issue where, you know, you can't work out. You know, mm-hmm. you can't diet. You need to rest. You need mm-hmm. to sleep. And so as I started to, you know, really reevaluate my program and experiment with what would eventually work, that's when I realized, like, oh, you can still look a certain way and feel even better with doing half the amount of work, with mm-hmm. you know, having a more forgiving relationship with food and nutrition and especially exercise and removing some of that addiction, you know, mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of like what attracted. I think a lot of people can relate to that, you mm-hmm. know, that fear of like not working out, fear of like not eating perfectly or having, if you have like an unhealthy type of food, like, oh, I'm a bad person, you know? Mm-hmm. And so as I began to share more of my story, a lot of people were like, oh my God, you're like that too. Like, I don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. And that was something I really gave me a lot of clarity of what I wanted to speak more and more about.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. There's so much to talk about there and what you just said. It's like where to start. But I mean, one thing that we talked about and that catches is like mm-hmm. the fear around not exercising and how I feel like in this culture now that's almost become, or it has become a detriment to your health and like self-esteem and all that stuff, because our attachment does become so strong. If I don't work out today, something terrible is going to happen. I'm all going to become, you know, overweight overnight, or, you know, I'm going to lose my identity, or I'm not going to be strong anymore. And I know, you know, I was an athlete as well, and I didn't have the metabolic issue experience that you had, but I have had multiple injuries, which has forced me to change the way I look at exercise as well. And it's been one of the most challenging inner journeys I've gone through, but now one of the most rewarding in that it has really, allowed me to see exercise differently and explore my body and movement in a different way. So what do you tell your clients or people that are talking about if they have that kind of like, you know, I'm sort of trapped feeling like I have to exercise, and if I don't, I'm gonna have some bad, you know, repercussions.
Well, I think the first thing I tell them is that I can relate. I can relate to that fear. I can relate to that anxiety of missing a workout, and like you said, wondering like what's gonna happen if I miss a workout. And you know, I never took a day off, and I think you and I talked about that before. We're very similar, right? It's like you just train. You just train when you don't sleep. You train when you're tired. You just train. And I remember having conversations with friends where they're like, you don't take recovery weeks? And I was like, weeks? Like, what is that? And it just baffled me because I was like, no, you're not going to make progress. And here we are, right, as coaches, like emphasizing this like healthy lifestyle. And we are going 110% regardless of how good we feel. And so what I tell them again is that, you know, I can relate. And then I definitely work with them at what place they're in and how comfortable they feel with entertaining the idea of scaling back a workout, and then be very, you know, I'm very present with them and supportive. And I really try to listen to what they're probably saying in between what they're really saying, and where that fear is essentially stemming from. Because I guarantee they've had, you know, they have gone on trips where they've come back and, oh, you know, like you said, like I kind of look the same. I don't feel like I look that much different. If not, I have more energy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, like for me, where my health, you know, I overtrained often in my programming because I didn't take days off. And so I was forced to take a few days off, and I would come back feeling refreshed. And that's when, again, I started to entertain the idea of, maybe days off are beneficial, and maybe nothing bad really is going to happen. And then for me, it was like, oh, let's try to experiment even more. How much more efficient can I be, and how much more of this time that I used to spend in the gym can I now do for business or for friends and hanging out and being social? And so as I started to play around with that and share this story with clients, I think they gravitate towards the idea of having more space for them to actually engage in things that really matter to them, which is relationships, connecting to people, feeling good about, you know, your purpose in life, whatever that is. And so, you know, that is something, again, very independent for each person and where they are at in their stage of change and their progress towards whatever fitness goal they have. But yeah.
Two things you said there that I really like and want to touch back on is, one is the idea of everything being an experiment. I think when I started looking that way, it felt a little less risky or scary to try something different. So the idea of an experiment and just really being, giving yourself permission to try something different and then give it a couple weeks, it's like, okay, I feel worse. All right, let's go back to what I was doing before. Big deal, 2 weeks. Or, wow, I actually feel better because I never allowed myself to do this before. And when this hit me is I was forced to take, and this was recently, like 3 months off of really doing anything, because I had a shoulder injury and a foot injury at the same time. So I was really couldn't do, you know, before I'd have an injury, be like, oh, I'll just skip that part of my body, but I'll do everything else. You know? So I really was like, you know what? I'm going to do nothing for 3 months, including even yoga or restorative things. And I didn't feel that much different, which is kind of crazy to say as a trainer and a gym owner. It's like, you know, people, you got to work out. But I mean, obviously you do, but I think like you're talking about, there's different ways to approach it, and there's a different balance between exercise and recovery. And I think that's the biggest lesson for people, is finding your right balance and using the idea of an experiment to find that and give yourself permission to play with it a little bit. The other thing you said is the idea of the minimum effective dose, which I love. It's like, okay, in our world, it's like, how much farther can I run? How much more time can I spend on the bike? How many hours of the week can I get to the gym? How about how little can I do and still get the most bang for my buck? And I love that thought. Do you have any kind of ideas about that?
I mean, like, you know, the thought process of more is better was something that I constantly thought about. When I prepped for my show, I was like, well, if I'm doing this much cardio, I should add another 15 minutes. And before I knew it, you know, I was doing 2 hours of cardio every day. And then it was like, if I'm eating this little, if I eat a little less, that probably work even better. And so I started to just up my cardio, decrease my intake. Before you know it, I was so small, so lean. Obviously for the show, but it was reinforcing that idea that I should always try and do more, because more is always going to be better. And then, again, when I ran into those health complications, it was, I had no other choice but to experiment and reflect on like what is actually working for me. And that's when I was really exposed to the idea of efficiency. Alyssa, let's do this way more efficiently. And and even to this day, I will intentionally go into the gym like, today, I think you feel good. I think let's do an hour. And I reach that 35-minute mark, and I'm like, nope, today's 35 minutes. And the more I, you know, like you said, give yourself permission and you really tune into your body has all the answers. You know, it'll mm-hmm. tell you when to stop. It'll tell you mm-hmm. when to keep going. And you just have to get really good at noticing those cues and then mm-hmm. trusting it. Because I think those are two big steps that take a while to understand. Mm-hmm. And again, with more experimentation and more reflection, I got there. And I continue to do it because we're always changing, you know, stress, life. And so training and nutrition should reflect those changes within a program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you talk about really learning to listen to your body. And as athletes, and probably even other people in fitness, like, you're kind of told to, like, just keep going, yeah. you know, even if you have pain or even if it doesn't feel yeah. good. And you just learn to tune it out, and it took me a long time to undo that and really listen, because I'd be like, okay, this hurts a lot, okay, I won't do that, okay, this hurts a little, well, a little's fine, I'll push through a little hurt, you know, it's yeah. like really, like, wait a minute, no, pain is actually not a good sign,
right.
The whole, like, no pain no gain mentality, I mean, yes, there's the difference of kind of working hard and pushing yourself mm-hmm. occasionally, we're not trying to say that you should never work hard, but it's really the volume
yeah.
and the not listening to cues of your body when you're getting injured or tired and need a break. And so really being attuned. And then when you are rested, you can have those hard workouts where you push yourself, where you're going to get those gains, but like you said, much more efficiently with lots of recovery in between.
Yeah, definitely. And that whole idea with being an athlete, you know, that is something hard to unlearn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about how many years you were, you know, training and putting in hours of work, and it's just, it's constantly reinforced in your head by coaches, by peers, that you have to keep pushing, you have to keep pushing, that to even contemplate the idea that you could be more efficient with your time and not spend as many hours is kind of like, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that that's possible? And so, yeah, it takes, you know, approaching the aspect of experimentation takes some time, and it takes confidence, mm-hmm. you know, that, like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to try something new. I'm not
exactly.
sure, but I have a little confidence that this may work better for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So I want to flip it for a second mm-hmm. and talk about, so we're talking about, you know, ourselves and mm-hmm. or people that have been athletes or are almost like addicted to exercise or really, you know, push themselves to the limit. What about the people who are fearful to exercise and maybe are beginners or haven't done much exercise before? How does this philosophy maybe help them kind of get started on a journey in a more healthy and realistic way?
Which philosophy are you specifically referring to?
Like, the idea of you don't have to push yourself all the time
mm-hmm.
or spend hours and hours exercising, that kind of the minimum effective dose
yeah.
idea.
Well, I think that's what deters a lot of people from it, right? They read articles or, you know, in the magazines, it tells them you need 6 hours of cardio, you know, a week to maintain your weight. And they're like, I don't even have 6 hours in my week to work out, you know? So, like, I might as well just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is not motivating for them to hear all this, you know, relatively random information out there that's not specific to them and not specific to their lifestyle. So, you know, when speaking with clients or potential clients, you know, I like to learn a lot about their life and what they actually enjoy doing. Like, one of my clients, she loves rollerblading. I'm like, perfect. That's a great way to get movement in, you know,
mm-hmm.
to pinpoint what people actually like to do. They're going to eventually continue to do that. And to reinforce the idea that this is also improving your health. You know, if you do more things that you enjoy that you can be consistent with, it's going to have an effect on your health.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have an effect on your wellness and happiness. And so just, again, opening up their idea that not every program out there is right and right for you, more importantly,
mm-hmm.
and that I have to figure out what's going to work best for you. And that
mm-hmm.
takes your input
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And when we work together, that's when you find, like, your perfect plan for yourself. And
mm-hmm.
I think we all get kind of confused because there's so much programs, you know, that are out there for a lot of us to kind of, like, shuttle through. And we put too much weight in one, believing that this is what's going to fix me or this is what's going to get me to my goal. But it may be a combination of 15 programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it goes back to the experimentation. And so opening up their eyes to that thought of
mm-hmm.
let's trial and error, let's figure out what works and what doesn't work, and then at the end of this you'll figure out what does work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so fulfilling.
Totally. And like you said, I mean, there's literally 100 ways to skin a cat with fitness. It really, yeah. There's so many philosophies, there's so many tools. So I think that is great. And I think as trainers, it's nice, it's good not to get too stuck in one philosophy and realize that there can be so many ways that speak to different body types and personalities. I also think, you know, one thing that I think about in the fitness industry that we've really started doing a disservice to, I think, the public, the people that are looking for fitness, is that there was so much research out about what was the most effective weight loss strategies in fitness, and it came down to, you know, high intensity training and hard strength training, which is true. Those are the most effective ways to lose weight. But what that has done for the industry is made people really just think that that's the only good goal for exercise is to lose weight, and we have to push ourselves incessantly, which is kind of what we're talking about. But I really think that came from the fitness industry being like, these are the most effective ways to lose weight, but what we're forgetting is movement is more important as a fundamental building block than pushing yourself and losing weight. And I feel like it causes people to get intimidated or just skip so many more important aspects of fitness and just think that if they don't crush themselves that day, yeah. it's not a good workout.
Right.
So can you speak to that in your experience on that, or how do you prioritize different types of fitness with people?
Yeah, and like what you had mentioned is, like, you know, everyone's very impressionable, right? We can read one article and instantly think like, this is what I should probably be doing. And then you carry on this high intensity type of style of training, and then you assume you need to lose weight, but you really don't. And then you kind of get clouded of what actually you want to do. So looking at, you know, a specific client, specifically what their goal is, and figuring out what exactly that is, takes some time, and it takes some exploration with conversations. But it's interesting to hear them actually verbalize like what they actually do enjoy with working out, and again catering their program according to that type of style of training that maybe complementing their HIIT training and all their high intensity with stuff like walking and like you mentioned, approaching it in a way of longevity and understanding that these high intensity workouts may be good for short term. Also approaching the conversation in a way that what if moving better equated to looking better? What if performing better, getting stronger, is eventually equated to weight loss? I think when we put weight loss first, it's a lot of pressure, you know, and there's more pressure and fear surrounding failure, and no one likes to fail. Because failure in our society is looked down upon. If you fail, you are a failure. Mm-hmm. Whereas failure is just a part of living life. Mm-hmm. And I came across this really great website called Fail Forward. And it talked about the psychology around how important it is to fail and how you should be failing every day in order to make progress and to learn more about yourself. And I do encourage that with clients. It's like, embrace the aspect of failing. Embrace the aspect of like getting outside of your comfort zone. And again, approaching your program in a way of like, if we can get your joints to move better, if we can get you to open up your hips and to really feel what muscles are working, it's going to be far more beneficial for you than specifically putting so much eggs in one basket of, I have to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a couple things there. I mean, the other thing about that is, like you said, you know, opening up your body, open up your hips so you can move better. I think people don't move that well, and then they're doing these high-intensity workouts where they're just hammering like bad movement patterns, and that is so detrimental to the longevity. Mm-hmm. And I've become so much more focused on longevity as a trainer and as for myself as well, and realizing that, like I said, I mean, high intensity and strength training is important, but it's just one piece of many aspects of the fitness puzzle that has gotten way too much attention. And I just wrote a blog recently on exactly what we're talking about, why weight loss should not be your motivation for exercise. Because actually, if your goal is weight loss, then exercise is not the most efficient way to approach it.
Right,
nutrition is by far more valuable and more effective with weight loss. And obviously, exercise can support that. But if you're really looking to exercise to lose weight, you're kind of going about it backwards. And so I've really started to focus on myself and with my clients on really focusing on movement first, making sure, you know, injury prevention is far more important to me than how many calories you're going to burn in a workout. Mm-hmm. But that's not how most people think of their workouts. So sort of like the calorie burn is the end all be all.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's all these apps and things about, you know, emphasizing the importance of counting calories, burning calories, that we get so detached from that aspect of listening to your body. It's like, no, I'm supposed to eat 1,400 calories on these days and 1,800 calories on these days, that you become very detached from your hunger signals, your satiation signals. And I was in this workshop, and the instructor was mentioning this story about, you know, we go into the grocery store and we no longer look at an apple and like think to ourselves, that's red, that looks delicious and crispy. We look at it, we pick it up, we're like, is that a small apple? Is that a medium apple? Is that 80 grams? Is that 100 grams? And 30 carbs? You know, we just like overanalyze it, which again pulls us further and further away from the smartest thing that's in us. It's like, you know, our own brain and our own body. And so it's so funny that, you know, I wish more people said that out loud, where if your approach or your goal is weight loss, look at something other than exercise and how hard you need to push yourself, or how, you know, you need to get a gym membership and all these things.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, what it sounds like it comes down to in both realms is really listening in a new way, or in a more less clouded way, to your body, to how you feel, to intuitively what you know is right for you. Which, you know, is easier said than done.
Totally.
For sure. Yeah. But I do think that's a great thing to start thinking more about as you're approaching health and fitness and nutrition and working out. So are there any kind of last parting comments or advice you would give people who are either looking to start a program or maybe on a program and looking to make some changes to actually not just focus on the aesthetics, but really improve their health?
Yeah, I think what we talked about was like the aspect of failure. Understand that that's going to be part of the program, and to not necessarily attach so much of your worth or value to the days where you don't make it to the gym, or the days that you fail on a nutrition plan or whatever. And instead, look at it from an experimental perspective of like, oh, how come I didn't get to the gym today? Oh, I got 5 hours sleep last night. I have a really busy day today. I could sneak it in, but sleep is a priority, because if not, then cravings go through the roof. You know, I don't have time and energy for this and that. And so you want to almost work backwards to some degree when you see something that's not working for yourself. And to go into the program as well, like Ashley had mentioned, trusting yourself. Like, you've been living in your body for however long you've been living, and there have been multiple signals that that you are probably your own expert in, and to trust that. And again, it does take time, it does take a lot of repetition, but you do know yourself fairly well. Sometimes you just need to pause and reflect. So those were a couple of things I would definitely suggest leaving with.
I love that. Well, I feel like there's so much more to talk about, but we'll have to continue another day. I love this topic. I think it's an important topic to talk about. I think that there is a shift I'm seeing in the industry towards this and this kind of mindfulness, but there's still a lot more that needs to be done in this process. So anyway, we're going to wrap up with that. Thanks so much for being here today, Alyssa. And
that
was great talking to you. And I hope you guys got something out of that. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a great day.
Bye.